It's been a long time.
All right. Welcome back to the early shows. A long time coming. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is here. It's Friday. It's always good to have him. Sandy, let me just read a little bit from this clip. Newsweek, globalization, America's biggest bipartisan mistake, is what is being said. In 2007, a Swiss newspaper asked former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan, whom he predicted would be elected president the following year. He dismissed the question out of hand. It hardly makes any difference who will be the next president. The world is governed by market forces. It was an odd remark coming from a man appointed by the president of the United States, and yet it contained a remarkable truth. For more than two decades, a bipartisan collection of politicians, academics, business leaders, and policy experts called them the Uniparty, devoted much of its energy to fighting for and later defending an unquestioning commitment to the free flow of people, goods, and capital around the world. So closely synced were the bipartisan co-conspirators that their arguments and talking points were virtually indistinguishable on trading freely and ignoring borders. There was no daylight between Democrats and Republicans, no debate. It hardly mattered who would be president. Both nominees desired a world governed by markets, not people. Sandy, are we coming to the end of that way of thinking, that
train
of thought?
Well, I mean, you know, it's sort of sauce for the goose, maybe isn't sauce for the gander in this case. So you can look at this two different ways. I think it is, and I'm very, very sorry. It makes me gloomy and depressed because I think globalization was a trend that, of course, had serious frictional problems in the countries that were affected by it substantially, the United States
especially
being one of them.
Yeah.
Where jobs were being changed rapidly. But it was not much different, actually, than the impact of new technology. You know, the impact of new technology has a very short-term effect on jobs, destroying some jobs and creating other jobs. And in the United States, of course, globalization had an impact on a sort of a sector, which was manufacturing, assembly line, blue-collar type manufacturing. And the jobs that had been done in the United States at relatively high pay at a time when the United States, you know, we've talked about this before, but after World War II, the United States had a 40-year honeymoon in which we came out of the war thriving and the rest of the world was on its knees. It took them 25 years to recover. It took them another 15 years to get their economies perking up at the level where they actually were competitive with the United States, but they were. And so the United States was selling abroad like mad and selling in the United States like mad their own manufactured goods. TVs cost thousands of dollars if you wanted to get a really good big one, and made the United States, California, Tennessee, wherever they were assembled. But globalization changed things. Globalization moved jobs out of the United States, moved some jobs into the United States. The whole flavor of the employment market in the United States changed. We had to refocus ourselves on technological innovation, which sounds like a good thing to me. And the world at large began to prosper. And by prospering, they became more capable of buying U.S. goods, for instance, so that, you know, Nike shoes, things that are at least labeled in the United States and marketed out of the United States, became worldwide products. Blue jeans. You know, the world was Americanized in the process of being globalized. And there's lots of people in the rest of the world who actually look at that and are upset by it because the influence of America was broadened substantially in this globalization process through the market forces of the American culture essentially spreading. So when you have open borders and people able to travel, you have sort of a bright sun shining on the world. You have people getting to know one another. The risk of major warfare between major countries was way down. China was, we couldn't figure out whether China was our friend. Probably they were in the year 2000. They were certainly our economic ally. And Russia was something that with the Cold War was something in the rearview mirror. It was in the past. And now what's driving us back towards deglobalization is actually reigniting the Cold War so we can isolate Russia, redefining the Cold War so we can decide that a China which is threatening our economic, you know, what that article is about is the world economy. And apparently the United States has a view that if we don't dominate the world economy, and if China becomes a more dominant influence, that makes them our enemy. I think that what was being talked about there by Greenfield was the fact that the world economic forces are benign. You know, they operate with a scalpel. They do cost people jobs. They also change the flavor of work, but they don't. They aren't. The changes aren't accomplished through warfare. They're accomplished in a peacetime environment. And globalization had a great deal to do with improving the standard of living across the world. It improved the standard of living in the United States, sure.
But people are saying it was at the expense of the middle class.
Well, it was. It created a dislocation in the United States. But that was going to happen anyway.
Because of technology.
It was going to happen because of the advancement of technology. It was going to happen because of the advancement of competition in the world. The level of tariffs that we would have to erect in order to keep products in the rest of the world from entering the United States and competing with us was going to become substantial. So, you know, we were what we were because of this honeymoon we had after World War II that gave us this unbelievable position of world dominance in terms of manufacturing and economic operations. But that honeymoon was ending, had ended. And it had ended before the 1995, I think it was, World Trade Organization and the actions that had essentially caused China to become such a center of globalization. You know, we talk about globalization now and what makes us upset about it, but we basically have to point at China and the rise of China as the most major factor in that. Mexican, we can look at NAFTA. NAFTA was basically about moving jobs to Mexico, but I don't know how many jobs we could quantify there.
So I remember when NAFTA came into existence, and I thought it was happening because just what you just said, the rest of the world especially realized we don't need, we can't allow one nation like America to continue to control everything. And then America realized, hey, we can't be out here on an island by ourselves. So we brought Canada and Mexico
I think NAFTA was in large part probably the result of the National Chamber of Commerce and other people lobbying to get, you know, before NAFTA was created, we had set up these interesting manufacturing cities on the border of the United States in Mexico to access the cheap labor in Mexico and have a tariff-free zone so they could manufacture it on the border and ship it to the United States without a tariff. So we were experimenting with the process of using foreign labor to manufacture American goods. And so that morphed into NAFTA, okay? And our relationship with Canada has always been almost like Canada's a 53rd state, right? I mean, they're pretty close to us, although there's lots of tariffs, and they do have a separate economy. But NAFTA, what was NAFTA? It was Canada and Mexico.
Yeah. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy Williams is my guest. We'll be right back.
Change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.